And now, today's word.
As you know, our theme this year is God. And so as we come to the conclusion of the year, I return to the main theme of the year, God. So I'm starting a series that I have titled Living for God. Living for God. And this is part one of Living for God. Each one of us, at one point or the other, have desired or sought to live for God. Something in our hearts want us to live for God. And many times at important occasions or events in our lives, we pledge to live for God. And it could be when we're having a birthday, you decide, I want to live for God, or an anniversary that is significant, or we get delivered from some calamity and we pledge to live for God. And sometimes at the beginning of a new year, we all make promises to live for God. But what does it mean at all when we say we are living for God? What does it mean to you? What does it mean to me? For some, living for God can be a very major decision for them to leave everything behind and go and live in a monastery, or to live in an abbey, to become a monk, or to become a nun. Other people living for God may mean that they stop whatever they are doing and decide to become a pastor, a clergyman, or to do something in the house of the Lord. But that refers to only a few people who make those decisions. The majority of us, all of us, living for God occurs in our daily lives. It occurs in our schools, it occurs in our offices, in our factories, it occurs in our home, in our community, in our relationships, in our marriages, in just the way we live life, we endeavor to live for God. So how do we live for God in our day-to-day lives? How do we do it so that when we look at our lives, you can truly say that I'm living for God, although I don't live in a monastery or I'm not a full-time pastor, but I'm truly living for God. How do we do that? And so this week, as I start my series, my subtitle for Living for God is Where Your Treasure Is. Where your treasure is. And that's what we're going to examine today. It has to do with what we value, or our values, what is important to us. And our Lord Jesus Christ addressed this in his Sermon on the Mount. And we will read a portion of that for our reading today. And it's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. Matthew chapter 6, from verse 19 to 21. Matthew chapter 6 is part of what is called the Sermon on the Mount. It's the longest recorded teaching of Jesus Christ in the Gospels. It starts from Matthew chapter 5 and ends at Matthew chapter 7. And he teaches about so many things. He starts to talk about blessed are you for many reasons. And then he teaches about different subjects. And in chapter 6, he talks about prayer. He talks about fasting. And then he talks about wealth and anxiety and worry. And it is in that context that this passage comes up. Matthew chapter 6, from verse 19 to 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When you look at this passage, there is one word that dominates the whole passage, and that word is treasure. Treasure. Jesus Christ used that word three times within the context of the passage we are considering. Treasure. The word treasure comes from the Greek word thesaurus. You know, much of our English words come from either Greek or Latin, and sometimes from French or German. But thesaurus, you get the English word thesaurus. Thesaurus. And if you know what a thesaurus is like a dictionary, but it expands on words. So if you look through the thesaurus for happy, it will give you all the synonyms of happy, glad and cheerful and so on and so forth, so forth. So a thesaurus normally talks about things that are in abundance. So if there is one word, you look at a thesaurus, it will give you 20 others. And I use the thesaurus a lot in my sermon preparation to help me to find alternate words for words I want to use, because the thesaurus gives you a lot of things. So when we say thesaurus, instantly you are thinking about a lot of things, something that is a lot. And that's what the Greek word is. And primarily, there are two ideas that thesaurus implies. The first one, it talks about things that are valuable, things that are valuable, things that we prize and things that we cherish. Valuable things. Thesaurus is valuable things. It could be something we cherish in life, and it refers to so many things in our lives. For some people, our treasure in life is a good name. We treasure a good name. And we say that all I want in life is a good name. So that's your treasure. For some people, a treasure can be a good education. And you say, I just want to learn. I want to have the best of education. A lot of people, our parents will tell their children, treasure education. So that's their thesaurus. They're looking for a good name, or they're looking for education. For some people, their treasure is good old money. Money, money, money. That's their treasure. They want to have money. And people tell you, listen, no matter how many degrees you have, if you don't have money, then they may insult you because you don't have money. So for them, money is their treasure. And for other people, assets, building houses, acquiring lands and properties, that's their treasure. For some people, it is something like happiness. They will say, I treasure my happiness. I want to be happy in life. Some people, their treasure is to have peace of mind. Have you ever met people who say, I just want to have my peace of mind? That's their treasure. That is their value. That's what they value in life. So it could be education. It could be money. It could be a good name. It could be assets. It could be happiness. It could be all kinds of stuff. Just a good marriage. So treasure can be many things for different people. So that's the first thing. Things that we cherish and things that we value, because our treasure eventually will determine how we live for God. The second thing to look at is where to put the treasure. If you have treasure, where do you put it? You put it in a storehouse. So if you have money, you don't keep the money on a table. You don't accumulate money and put it in a table. You probably put it in a bank or put it in an investment. If you acquire education, you put it into something. If you acquire a good name, you probably want to sit on some boards and be recognized and people to write well about you, or get a branding company to brand your name and do all kinds of good things with your name. Because valuables must have a storehouse where you put the valuables. Now, this word thesaurus is used in the New Testament to describe when the wise men came to Jesus when he was an infant. And the Bible says, and they opened their treasures and they gave to the infant child gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The word that is translated as treasure is the same word here. And so in that context, you are looking at the gold, which is a treasure, and where the gold is kept. The frankincense is a treasure, and where it is kept. And for each one of us, there is something we treasure in life. There is something that is important for us, and we protect that thing. If it's your happiness, you protect your happiness. I don't want anybody to spoil my happiness. If it's education, nothing will stop. Hey, you can't stop me from getting my education. If it's a good name, we protect it. We don't want anybody to mess up with our good name. Because whatever is a treasure to us, no matter, not is it just a treasure, but we also contain it somewhere. We keep it somewhere. So I want you to bear that in mind. Treasure. Then Jesus Christ talks about another word, and that word is heart. Heart. And that word heart is speaking about the core of your being, the inside of you, your will, your character, your beliefs, your passion, that which drives you. That's your heart. That which controls you. That's your heart. Living for God is a heart matter. So if we want to live for God, we have to be careful about the state of our heart. But in being careful about the state of our heart, we have to be careful about what we treasure. Because Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So wherever my treasure is, if my treasure is in education, my heart will be in education. My treasure is to have a good name. All my passion, my drive, my energy in life will be to get a good name. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's a heart matter. And this is very critical. And the reason it's critical is because sometimes we want to live for God, but our treasure takes our heart away from God. You say, I want to live for God. I want to serve God. I want to really do things for God. But the things you treasure are taking your heart away from God, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, for you to determine what your treasure is, there are two important questions we have to ask ourselves. The first one is, who is my treasure? God or myself? Who is my treasure? God or myself? Because where my treasure is, there will my heart be. If my treasure is God, I will be towards God. If my treasure is myself, then I'm going to live for myself. Many times we think the competition in that we are dealing with is between God and Satan. That's not true. God has no competition. Satan is not a competition to God. The real competition is between God and the image of God. God and man, God and you. What you want and what God wants, God's will and your will. That's where the battle is. It's not between Satan and God. It's between God and you. He made you in his image. And that's where the battle is, the self of man and the purposes of God and the will of God. So you ask yourself, who is my treasure, myself or God? And I know most of you would say God, because that's the most churchy answer. But as you know, many times we say one thing and practice another thing. We say we want something and do everything possible not to get it. So, for example, a person says, my greatest desire in life is that one day I'll build a mansion to honor my father or my mother, or I'll build a big building for whatever purpose. That's their treasure. That's their desire. I want to build a big house. Now you would expect that a person who says, My greatest desire is to build a house. We'll do things that will let them build a house. But then this person has money and they buy ice cream and they buy kebabs and they just chop the money, or they take luxury trips. Today you hear they are on a trip to Dubai in Dubai. And they're having fun in Dubai, and they're taking pictures in Dubai, and then they're having fun. Hey, I'm in Dubai. What's up, everybody? Or sometimes they are in a Greek island, or they are somewhere in Italy, or they are somewhere else. They're having fun. But they are the same person who says, my desire is to build a house, but their investment is not to their house. So it's very possible for you to say, God is your treasure, but your choices do not show that God is your treasure. Because many of us sit in church and we say, oh, God is my treasure. Oh, I want to do God's will. But every decision we make shows that God is not important in our considerations. Our true treasure will reveal itself. So the person who says, my treasure is to build a house, that's not his true treasure. His treasure is just to be happy. And so everything his heart is drawn towards is just to be happy. There are people who say, I want to love God, I want to serve God. But every decision they make is opposite of God. You know, there are Christians who love God, nice, good church people. They love God. They come to church and they truly think they love God. They can buy a ticket, airline ticket from Ghana to go to London, buy a ticket in London to go and watch Manchester United. And I'm not saying don't watch Manchester United, even though they don't give you much to watch, but it's okay to watch them. But you know, a person, and there are quite a number of people, they will buy a ticket, go and watch Manchester United, and come back and talk about how it was, and they, you know, and talk about it and so forth. And then the same person, you tell him, why don't you build a church, a small church in your village? They will have every excuse why they wouldn't build a church in their village. Oh, you don't trust pastor. You don't know what they will do with your money. You don't know. But you know what Manchester will do with your money. You know what British Airways does with your money. As for that, you are comfortable with it. The problem is not the pastors. The problem is your heart is following a treasure that is not of God, but it's your own happiness. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be. I've noticed that in giving to God has nothing to do with how much money a person has. It has all to do with where their treasure is. What is important to them? Because when something is your treasure, your heart will be in it. And if your heart is in it, you don't care how much you spend to get it. So the person who goes to watch the Manchester United, he doesn't think he's lost money. He can still come to God and go in demonstration that life is hard. But he wouldn't, in his mind, he can't compute that Ghana is hard, but I went to London to watch Manchester. It doesn't work, because as far as your treasure, if it's your treasure and your heart is in it, spending for it is nothing. But if your heart is not in it, spending for it is like toothache, your tooth being pulled. So who is my treasure? God or myself? And you may say God, but if you evaluate it, it's yourself. Second question, where is my treasure? In heaven or earth? Am I doing something that gives me a heavenly reward, or I want an earthly reward? Do I want God to say, well done, good and faithful servant? Or I want people to say, oh, we clap for you. You've done well. Pa, 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 pa. I add. Mum, I add. So whose clap are you looking for? Whose well done are you looking for? So if your treasure is in heaven, you are seeking to please God for God to say, well done. If your treasure is on earth, you want people to appreciate you. Who is my treasure? It's not Satan. Throw Satan away. He's not in the equation. Self and God. God and the image of God. That's where the competition is. God and the image of God. Me and God. Heaven or earth. Jesus says if your treasure is on earth, you're going to invest on earthly things. If your treasure is in heaven, you're going to invest in heavenly things. It doesn't mean that because you say your treasure is in heaven, now you don't eat anything again. You just, instead of eating food, you go to the bush and cut grass and eat the grass like a cow. That's not what I'm talking about. You can live very good. You can live very healthy. You can treat yourself well, but not at the expense of the things of God. So, by all means, we must honor our lives, but we must not do it in such a way that it's so lopsided that we are on top and God is nowhere to be found. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the net effect of that is the things we spend time and money on reveal our heart's condition. So each one of us must do a money audit and a time audit. What do I spend time on? What do I spend money on? Because that will tell you where your heart is. Where do you spend your time? You know, sometimes I get amazed. People just spending 1.5 hours in church on a Sunday, on a non-working day, non-competitive day. Sunday is non-competitive. You don't have work to do. You don't have anywhere to go. Come to church on Sunday. We'll still be late. And say, I still love the Lord. I don't know about you. Is there any important place that you treasure that you will go late? Just tell me. Just tell me that this is very important to me and I'm always late for it. I don't know. Maybe I'm too pastor that my mind is not working again. Somebody says, we have an important lunch appointment. We're meeting at 12. Do you go at 1:30? Do you go at 1? Your bank manager says, oh, come and let's sign, you know, let's finalize this transaction. Let's meet at 12:15. Sometimes they will even say 12:13. Whoever gives appointment at 12:13. I mean, what was the 13 for? But you'll be there at 12:13, maybe 12:11, because it's a treasure to you. And God says, I want to meet you at 10. You've been sleeping from last Saturday up to this morning. You've been sleeping. It's not like God didn't wake you up. He made you sleep and you woke up. This morning, show up 10 o'clock. Some will still be showing up by the time I'm saying, the Lord bless you and keep you. And still that person still thinks, oh, as for God, my heart. You're where? Because if this is how you treat things that you treasure, then how would you treat what you don't treasure? So your mouth says God, but your heart says no. We're doing a time and money audit. Where you spend your money, what you spend your money on. It's amazing how, you know, in our culture, no matter how hard life is, if it's a funeral, and the family says, we are cutting cloth. We are cutting cloth. And they went to Auntie So-and-so's funeral, and a different cloth was cut. And a month later, Uncle So-and-so's funeral, they've cut a different cloth. This broke Ghanaian will buy the new cloth. So where is the treasure? And where is the heart? It's not a very uncomfortable teaching. It makes people very, but I'm coming. So how do things get into our hearts? And I'm going to end with this. How do things get into our hearts? How do things get into our hearts? And I'm going to talk about four ways that things become treasure to us. Things become important to us and they get into our hearts. And I'm basing this on Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, and I'm not going to read it. I assume you know Genesis chapter 3, and I assume you've heard a story of Adam and Eve for so long that I will piggyback on it without reading the text, because you should know the story of Adam and Eve. But it shows how things, our treasures change. This is Adam and Eve, created by God. God creates you, puts you in a Garden of Eden. You would think that their greatest desire would be to worship God. God has done so much for us. Look at what God has done. He's created you. He's put you in a good position. And yet, pretty soon, the treasure is changing. The heart is shifting. And four things we would notice about Adam and Eve. Things get into our hearts based on what we look at. What we look at. What you look at is what you pay attention to. God creates Adam and Eve, puts them in the Garden of Eden. He planted the Garden of Eden. Planted it. Puts them there. And he says to Mr. Adam and Mrs. Eve, we'll call him Kofi Adam, because he was created on a Friday. So it's Kofi in Ghana terms. Mrs. Eve Adam and Mr. Kofi Adam. God puts them in the garden and God says, Mr. and Mrs. Adam, eat every tree. Look at every tree. Enjoy every tree. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of fruits and trees and herbs and grapes and strawberries and all kinds of things. But there is one. Don't touch it. I don't know about you. I mean, it's not a very difficult instruction. Even you decide you're going to eat one fruit every day. I mean, that's going to sustain you. You're going to have pleasure. You're going to have joy. You're going to be happy. But after they've sampled all the other trees, one day they say, we have to check that one too out. We have to check that one out. So they start paying attention to it because the temptation occurs around the tree. It means that they didn't just go there once. They kept going there, kept looking at it, kept feasting on, kept paying attention to it. And now Satan says, okay, they are looking. Let's start a conversation. Start looking, paying attention. The things you pay attention to, things you spend your time on.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otobi, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otobi. Email otterville@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.